Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Most High, Ahayah, Ashar, Yesha HaMashiach, and the Ruach Ruach. All praises to the Most High, for this is a day that He has made, which is the Sabbath. It's our day of worship, our day of rest. You got 6 days to do what you want to do and enjoy your life. Take care of your business, work hard. But on this one day, we recognize Him. And we keep it holy. We go ahead and make sure that we're doing the things that He would have us to do that are pleasing in His sight. We try to reframe from using words, shopping, being in the marketplace, doing things that are pleasing to us only, taking care of things for other people, causing other people to even have to work for you. We are in this captivity, and we know we're under grace and mercy. However, we have been told through the covenant to remember the Sabbath and keep it kodesh, set apart, holy, and sanctified. Do everything you can within your own power to make this a day that is set apart, set aside towards the Most High. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We acknowledge Him today. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I am Elder B, Yasha'ala. This is Blueprint for Life, brought to you here on Block Radio, an extension at Last Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance Assembly, in association with Social Change. And we are here to be a part, or a spoke in the wheel, of waking our people up, bringing them the truth, encouraging, exhorting, and exalting the Most High. All glory and all praise to the Most High. We are here to expose corruption, expose lies. But on this particular day, the Sabbath, the Shabbat, it's set aside for us to do as they did in Acts 13, chapter 15, verse. After Christ ascended into the heavens, they were still coming together at the synagogues to hear the reading of the laws and commandments that were still attached to the larger scrolls. The disciples, not the Christians, the disciples and the followers of the Most High in His ways, came together to hear the reading of the laws and to exhort one another in songs, spiritual songs and hymns, as the apostles spoke of, and going from house to house and breaking bread. These were the things we did to prepare us and equip us and strengthen us in life. These are the things.
Please choose a sponsored video. Your content will begin shortly.
Bear with me. Excuse us for the technical difficulty. So, brothers and sisters, we probably have a lot of you that are living in this society, and we know that society and the whole world is in an uproar, an upheaval, especially over the plight of the black man, the son of Jacob. And many people are still reeling and rocking, drunk from the holidays and demonic holidays, these pagan holidays and pagan worship, the winter solstice and Ceramesis and Nimrod and the Yule child, different things, and getting caught up into old lang syne and the false new year. How can something be new in the dead of winter? It's not a new year until the seasons of spring begin to break forth. We are in the 10th month, but we're unfortunately been relegated to the Gregorian calendar that has us all believing that this is the time of these pagan holidays, a part of this world, which have no significance, no meaning, no biblical foundation whatsoever. These holidays is what I call them. They totally go against the word of the Most High. They totally go against everything He's set in motion and He's established. There's quite a few things I'm going to talk about today, but I just want to still put emphasis on this 10th month. In actuality, according to the Hebrew calendar that the Essenes used, but we are in the Gregorian calendar year that they call the 12th month, which they think is the end of the year in the dead of winter, when things are still dead. We know the Most High brings about newness with a change. So when we get towards March, that's when we who are alive and awakened and are the true Hebrew and called out will understand that that is our new year, where we go into a time of giving, preparing for the Passover, and our holy days, the covenants, the Sabbaths of the Most High that He gave us, that this world is constantly trying to take away from. Even the simple fact of them trying to get us to worship on a Sunday is so that we will party on a Saturday and desecrate the real day of the Most High. That's right, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown is our Sabbath, our Shabbat, and it's when we get quiet and shut it down. Even if you have to work, even if there are some things that because you're in this captivity, you're relegated to. We have mercy and grace. I will emphasize that again. But I know that you know mentally and physically how to shut it down and solely focus on the Most High through reading, studying, singing, and reframing from being caught up into expressing yourself, but expressing Him and doing your part to wake up others. The world is trying to get all they can out of these pagan holidays because they feel like this is their time. And we somehow or another kind of can get caught up spiritually into the fact that this is when we stand out. This is when we are the light of the world. This is when we're the salt of the earth. But this is when we stand out because we don't participate in the things that everybody else is participating in, especially so-called Christians that want to tell you that this is the day that Christ was born, this past Christmas. Let me explain something to you. Let me read something to you real quick about the falsehood of the fact Christ being born in the dead of winter on the day that they actually celebrate the birth of Nimrod's child with his own mother, and Saramesis. And they call it mythology and pagan stories. But you've got Christianity is a blend, a synthesis of the truth with paganism that Constantine started in 70 AD. Fact of the matter is that Christ was somewhere near the time of Passover. And if you look at Luke, the second chapter, it makes it clear to you that actually Luke, the second chapter, talks about the birth of Christ. And when you go to the second chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Even then, you see, Mary was living according to the laws, that after having a child, that you were supposed to remain outside of the camp for a time of purification before you came back around people. So that time frame was normally within a few months or a few weeks or so. You can do the math. I didn't break down this study, but that right there in itself tells you that the child had spent that time, because the child couldn't be dedicated. The child, you'll see earlier in the scriptures, the circumcision and everything after 8 days. That was in the 21st verse. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Yesha, which was that the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then in the days, when the days of her purification to the law. So what you want to do is go back into the law and understand the time of purification for a woman and how long it took, and will help you to better understand the time of Christ's birth. One thing we know for sure is if you go further down, you'll see that down to the 36th verse, there was one prophetess by the name of Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who was of the tribe of Asher. Now, she was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years. The reason I bring this particular part out is because see that the tribe of Asher, you had people and a young lady, to be more specific, who was a prophetess that was working, dwelling, and ministering in the temple with a man by the name of Simeon, whom the Most High promised wouldn't pass until he saw our Savior, the child. Many people think that all the tribes of Asher and some of the other southern kingdom tribes all were in what we know as the United States, the North American Indians at this time, but not all of them were there. Many of them stayed back, so the tribes had been scattered throughout the regions and the four corners of this earth. Now, if you go to verse 41, you'll see that it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And verse 42 is key. It says, and when was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When he was 12, they went to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. Let you know clearly that Christ became 12 years old during the time of the Passover. It didn't say while he was 12 years old. It said, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. And at that time, they had fulfilled their days. So we know that if you go down further in the chapter of Luke, the second chapter, it talks about how the men were in the field with their beasts when Christ was born, taking care of the animals, the shepherds. There's no way that a child could be born in a manger during the dead of winter in Jerusalem. You can check your almanac, encyclopedia, and dictionary to see what the weather is like during the dead of winter in those regions, and then go back and check and see what the weather is like during the time of Passover. It'd be impossible to even see a star in the sky during that time. So these are just some of the lies that this world has taught, as they have stolen from our history book, made it a religious artifact to teach us lies. Waking up, all praises to the Most High, and coming back into the knowledge that this book that they call the Bible is a compilation of various scrolls that depict the sojourn of a people that are called by the name of the Most High, Zion, Israel, Yasha'Allah, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes that are named after the 12 sons of Jacob that have been scattered throughout the world. And that are awakening, all praises to the Most High, awakening once again. And it's our duty as we awaken each one, teach one, and begin to awaken our people. So many of them have been lost and scattered in the Christian church. And there was who I, and I actually am elated by the article. It's talking about, it's from a Christian perspective, and they're bringing forth articles in a sad way, saying the rise of the done with church population. And if it's a done with church as it is now, with your homosexual pastors, your paganist witchcraft Freemason pastors who are part of the Illuminati and FEMA camps, I was just reading the other day that many of the pastors with the larger churches, the mega churches, have been called upon by your government to be trained on how to teach to you and lead you during the time of martial law into the internment camps, because they know many of us will not be able to be forced into the camps and will not go there for shelter in the case of a pandemic outbreak, an Ebola virus, continual fighting, an invasion. They know many of us won't go, but the pastors have been trained, paid, taught how to calm the people down, bring them into their churches, and from their churches lead them to so-called safety into these internment camps that they will believe to be a place of safety, shelter, food, and nourishment, when in actuality, who goes into these camps more than likely will not leave out alive. Martial law is coming, relocation of people into different areas and regions. All of these things are being established. So, which is why when I see an article that says the rise of the done with church population, all glory and praise to the Most High, because anyone involved with a 501c3 church means that your church, your pastor, is aligned with the government and will do their bidding and will have to do their bidding. Wasn't too long ago in Houston, Texas, that there was the mayor or the governor, she was demanding that all pastors turn in their sermons, paper, and tape, because she wanted to hear if there was any gay bashing going on. Because if that was the case, they were going to be fined and imprisoned. And so, therefore, they were trying to police the sermons and what was said, because when you're aligned with the government, there are certain things you're not allowed to do. So the messages and sermons were being censored, and you had a lot of pastors who are in this for the wrong reason that were in fear for their lives. So an article like the rise of the done with church population, yes, let it be so, because the way it was originally established in Acts, the second chapter, the Acts 2 church, we had people that secretly met in homes and fellowship different regions and got together to hear the reading of the statutes, laws, and commandments and encourage each other and do what our brother Yeshua HaMashiach told us to do, which was go and make disciples. Now, let me be clear about disciples. You've probably heard me say it before. In order to be a disciple, you must be disciplined. For to be a disciple is the root word of discipline. And if you're going to discipline yourself, you must be disciplined by a set of governed rules. And as the children of Israel and the people of the Most High, our government and our rules rest upon his shoulders. And his shoulders being the Son of Man that came to fulfill the law. And so when he said, I came to fulfill the law, he didn't come to abolish it, do away with it. He came for the lost house of Israel to reinstitute the fact that we broke the laws in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and that's why, through our forefathers breaking this, that we've gotten ourselves into this predicament, being such a hard-headed and stiff-necked people. How dare you as a people sit at the base of Mount Sinai, at the mountain of the Most High, while he's at the top of the mountain giving Moses the laws and commandments. You're down there partying, making a calf out of gold, and convincing your leaders that are in charge, Aaron and the others, to present Satan to you and set up a party for you. This is how crazy your people can be at any given time, which is why we must discipline ourselves according to the law. Keep the Sabbath, keep it holy, and allow him, the Most High, to justify us. But the onus is upon us to keep the commandments when it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means the gossiping, the talking about. This whole world has a platform of discussion for gossiping against people, and have you heard about what such and such is doing? That has been implemented, instituted, and injected into society, and we gravitate to it so quickly because, once again, it's another form of getting you to break the commandments of the Most High, who is soon to come through his Son. The Most High is on his way back, and this is why discipline is so necessary if you're going to make it. This road is narrow. Understand that you will stand before the Most High by yourself and not with anyone you're with, not even your husband or your wife. It's going to be you and him and the choices that you made that you will be judged about. So when you hear this truth, you must conform. And conformity comes through disciplining yourself. And nobody wants to discipline themselves. One of the commandments of the Satanic Church, his and this world, is do what thou wilt. The same as what young people say today, you only live once. Try everything. Try it once. This is the tenets of Satan's philosophy injected into his world. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, whom the gods of this world hath blinded the mind of them, that they will not be able to see this marvelous gospel, the glory of this. Gospel. What is the gospel? These commandments, the power of these commandments. They are the blueprint for life, for a healthy life, for a protected life, for a sustained life, for a Kodesh life, for a promised life. The rise of the Dunwich Church, they're losing their good members and their so-called tithe payers and the faithful people. And this young generation, they can't even contend with because they're all smoking weed. They're into homosexuality and lesbianism. All they want to do is sing music, any kind of music, and it's a noise music because it doesn't glorify the Most High. None of this stuff glorifies the Most High. The music that glorifies the Most High is the songs of redemption, the songs of recompense, and the songs of adoration of his greatness. Not songs that glorify the artist. So to me, it's prophetic, the fact that the Most High is waking up people saying that this Sunday morning thing is a tradition of man. And it's not getting me anywhere. with their prosperity message. Leads me to a series that I'm going to begin starting today. I'm going to deal with some things within the Christian church. Today we're going to deal with speaking in tongues and unknown tongues. We're going to just talk about that a little bit. Next week we'll probably get into the Sunday worship, how it was implemented, how it started. And then the week after we're going to talk about the rapture doctrine, how that was implemented and that was started. So there's a series I want to do on that for the next 3 weeks. And I only want to spend a few minutes on that before I go back into some reading of the Book of Enoch. And also a continuation of another lesson that began. But let me go ahead and move into this so-called unknown tongues. You'll often hear of people in church that'll make a flawed statement of the so-called talking in tongues. The mix-up is talking in tongues and unknown tongues. You'll hear people say that make sure there's an interpreter present and that no more than three people are talking at one time in these churches. That's why these churches, it's a fallacy and people are leaving out. There is a danger in speaking in an unknown tongue. The scriptures do not speak in an unknown tongue. But in Acts, they were speaking in other tongues. You got to remember that it was the festival of Pentecost. And you had the children of Israel that had already began to be scattered that were able to speak other languages because they lived in other regions. But they had all gathered for this Feast of Pentecost. It was not the demonic manifestations that are being carried out in the modern deceived churches today. Every occurrence of an unknown tongue that you see in the New Testament, the word unknown is an added word. Listen to this. Anything you see in your Bible, King James Version, that's italicized, that means that it was not in the original manuscript. They just did that to make it more readable. So you go back and look at your Bible. If you see italics, that was injected. So many things have been injected into the scriptures and taken away that it truly takes the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, to help you to understand and get the interpretation of these scriptures. Let me tell you something. Christ spoke in parables also so that things could be hidden from the common man. So when you have somebody telling you that they're writing a Bible in a different method or version so you can better understand it, this is the woman's Bible, the kid's Bible, the black man's Bible, the gay Bible, so that you can better understand it, that's man's interpretation and him injecting and him telling you what it's supposed to say. And what has happened that all the way up until the NIV, you have had 100,000 words taken out of the Bible and also descriptions of the people of the Most High and descriptions of the Most High. Because there's things that they want hidden from you. Like, for example, there's a scripture that is taken away that said, these kind come out but by prayer and fasting. And whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. These scriptures have been taken completely away because they don't want people to understand the keys to power and the manifestation of his power. Brothers and sisters, there are demon spirits that are operating in the world today that will not come out of people or out of you unless you learn how to pray consistently and push your food to the side, starve your flesh out. These things run spirits away. We did a lesson before that said a lot of spirits desire to inhabit people because spirits without bodies roam the earth still desiring for food and for sex and for shelter because when they're without a body, they realize how miserable they are. They desire to dwell inside of a body. Even those spirits that were in the man, the legion, and he fell down to worship Christ, when he got off the boat, they begged to be cast into the pigs, the swines, because they didn't want to be without a body. And even the pigs killed themselves and destroyed themselves when the swines were cast into them. This is why gluttony and things taken out of moderation are all sins to the Most High, because there are spirits at work that would make a man eat himself to sickness and to death and to obesity. our smoke and drink, our sex, until it's causing destruction and it overtakes your life. That was the other thing. I was drinking, eating, and smoking and sex that these spirits desire a body for. Because sex, there's a thing that the satanic church has gotten into called sex magic. They know that illicit sex, adultery, and fornication, and homosexuality and lesbianism evokes demonic behavior and activity and calls upon other demons and Satan. Sex is used as a ritual to promote just seances and so on. But let me get back into tongues. And the scriptures in the Bible. I didn't want to get off track, but I was just saying that we have to be careful about certain Bibles that have been translated and things have been changed. Now, in the King James Bible, you see some words in italics. These are words that they had to properly translate the Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic into English. And as we can see, they did not always add the right words, but they were faithful in that they placed the words that they added in italics so that we would know that the words do not appear in the original manuscripts as such. Now, if you check your Strong's for the word unknown, you can see that in 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, 1 Corinthians 14 and 4. As a matter of fact, just go through 1 Corinthians 14. It is not there in the printed versions. And in the electronic versions, it lists the definition for tongues, not unknown. So, you can go in your spare time and look through 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and see unknown being injected various times. Now, false teachers have seized upon a word that isn't even in the scriptures and built a whole false doctrine around this. Now, the garbage stems from the false rapture doctrine as well, which I said we'll get into in a couple of weeks. The whole thing is corrupt from top to bottom and is in desperate need of a good, clean sweep by the Most High. And it's a time for change. Now, in the Acts, the gentleman refers to the words are other tongues, not unknown tongues. Not unknown tongues. Now, out of the book of Acts, you can see there was nothing unknown about it. You look at Acts 2 and 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you look in the Greek, the word other is heteros, which means different. You look in the Greek at tongues, it's glossa, a language, especially one naturally unacquired. So when they spoke this tongue, everybody understood it. The scripture lists 18 different languages that understood it at once. Not like today's so-called tongues where you see the dude talking about, I'm not gay no more, and he does the blah, 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 blah. And then you'll hear a lot of these Christian artists on their records and CDs claiming to have the Holy Spirit, which is really just they're glorifying themselves and putting themselves on a pedestal, wanting everybody to hear them. Because the scripture is clear in saying that if you have a prayer language or a tongue, it needs to be done in silent to edify you and your spirit. If something's done out loud, let there be someone who understands what you're saying. Tell everybody exactly what you're saying. There's no interpretation, then you're grandstanding and showing out and showing off. And this has nothing to do with the spirit. Scripture tells us that I give my spirit to those that obey me and keep my commandments. So this is one of the reasons why I'm bringing it about. Because the Holy Spirit is actually wisdom, and wisdom is the ruach, and it is the female aspect of the Most High. I'll get into that a little bit later. So when you understand that the real sign of the Holy Spirit is not, the evidence is not speaking in tongues, but it's the wisdom that comes along with keeping his commandments. Let's go back into this in Acts. When they spoke, everybody understood them in 18 different languages. The Pentecostal day, Acts chapter 2, tongues were heard and understood by all languages. Let's look at it. Acts 2, 4 through 11. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confused, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. We should have stopped right there. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Well, then in verse 8 says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, which should mean our own language wherein we were born? And here are the places: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, proselytes. Verse 11, we do hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of the Most High. So it made sense. They were talking about the works, and they were speaking the languages. It says tongues here, but it was saying the languages of those countries. Key point I need to bring out here. When the Most High got ready to speak in Acts, the second chapter, it wasn't in Hebrew. So for those of you that are saying speak Hebrew, you got to do Hebrew, everything's got to be Hebrew. Yes, we are the Hebrews. But when the Spirit fell, the Most High, through the Holy Spirit, spoke in every language that every man might understand in his language. Key component, Apostle Paul said it best, that when we start saying things to people that they don't understand, we come across as a barbarian because no one understands you. Some people don't know that Jesus Christ, whom you call that, his name is Yesha or Yeshaya. Some people say Yahawashi, but we down here fighting and getting caught up on names. But you need to use that makes sense until a person grows. We know the letter J didn't come about until the 16th century, and that Jesus can't be his name, and that Iesus that they used to use was not his name. That's not his name is not a Greek interpretation, but he had one name, which was a Hebrew name. Yes, but the Most High even knew to speak in various languages that all nations could understand at that time to preach the works, saying that this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So all these things had to transpire and take place in that manner, in that capacity, to reach all men. And still to this day, the children of Israel are in other nations speaking other languages, and we have to have a uniform commonality amongst us to where we can reach them. Paul said, I become all things to all men, that I might win them for the glory of the Most High. So you have to use wisdom, and this is why I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is wisdom, not you speaking some gibberish. That is not the Holy Ghost. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is a lie that has been promoted by the Christian church that people are waking up from, because these same people that are speaking in tongues will shoot you, stab you, screw you, steal from you, ain't got nothing. If you want to be kept, then come to the Blueprint for Life, which is the commandments. That will teach you that killing is wrong, stealing is wrong, adultery is wrong, gossiping is wrong, lying is wrong. You need something to conform your life to. You don't just go to a false religion, false church on a Sunday, jump up and down, speak gibberish like you cold and freezing to death, and just, that is not what stammering tongues and lips meant. When the Most High said that I will teach them and speak to them in a stammering tongue, what he meant is that our Hebrew language was going to be taken away from us. We were going to come to a land we never knew, America, and we were going to be taught English, which was not our language, but that's how we reach each other. I am not speaking in my native tongue, that I, as a child who was probably of the tribe of Judah or Benjamin, or Gad, because all that runs in my family, Benjamin being in Jamaica and Judah being from West Africa, the Israel driven to West Africa, and Gad being Indians, where you had my grandmother had Indian, as many of you have in your family. So these were not our tongues. And I'll say this too, just sidebar, that the Indians, they have found artifacts that prove that the North American Indians, all of them, were speaking Hebrew and keeping Sabbath and Shabbat and all of these practices, but they've hidden that from the American populace because they don't want you to make the connection that 2nd Esdras in 13 and 69 has already made for us in the Apocrypha that was taken out of the King James Bible. back in after 1611, the 1700s. They took those 14 books out of the Bible. So the fact of the matter is that what you see is that with American English and their dictionaries and italicizing and them trying to hide things out of our history book, get Bible out of your mind. That's something else I'm going to be breaking. Everybody just sees Bible as a religious artifact, but now it's history. It's a history book of a lost people who have no heritage, no land, and don't know where they come from. That would be you, black man, black woman. That would be you. 12 tribes of Israel, brown-colored people, so-called minorities, scattered everywhere, and called all these names of people that conquered that land, that would be you. This book is your history. It shows how you even got to the land that you're living in and how you came to speak the language of that land. When your forefathers originally spoke Hebrew but couldn't keep these commandments and laws. Let me finish up about these tongues. What is happening in the churches today is so far removed from scriptures that one could only suspect demonic influences. Stop babbling. It is not of the Most High. I'm not going to even make fun of it right now, because I know normally I would go off and show you that stuff they're talking about, you know, tie my yellow bow tie and all that stuff, that's ignorance. You doing step and fetch it. You might as well be tap dancing with blackface, because that's what you've been taught. There power in it. What they'll do is to try and justify it for their own so-called tongue talking in their churches. The scripture below follows right after the above verse, so that you know that it is the exact same subject being spoken of. Let's look at Acts, the second chapter. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking them said, "They must all be drunk, full of new wine." Verse 14, but Peter stood up with the other 11 and lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." So it was early in the morning. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So what the tongues preachers, teachers will tell you is that some man called the speakers drunk because they could not understand what they were saying. That's not true. Earlier, we already read that they understood all in their own languages. The tongue teachers will assert that when they speak in their babble, which people can't understand, it is the same as in the above Acts scripture. So they're trying to tell you that that babble that you hear in the churches today is the same as when they said they must be drunk. No, we just read that those were specific languages and that these 18 countries and nations understood them. First of all, the ones that didn't understand accused the speakers of being so drunk that they couldn't even form words recognizable to the human ear. Paul assures them that the men are not all drunk. And that's back at Acts 2, 12, and 13. Who then are these whom could not hear and could not understand the speech? They were the unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot hear with understanding the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, which interprets all things, are for the believers only, is not present in these unbelievers. That is why certain men, those who were mocking them, could not understand what the Holy Spirit was saying through the inspired speakers. Christ told us of these in another place, John 8 and 43. "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" So even Christ said this. To understand Christ is to understand the Holy Spirit, for they are one with the Father. That's 1 John 5 and 7. Christ said that his sheep hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Some people can heard Christ speak and still didn't know what he's talking about. Couldn't understand. But the believers, those that understood that the Most High gave they were able to bear witness, they knew what he was saying. Like, "I get it." When somebody says that, you've heard somebody speak before and you're like, "I get it." And somebody be like, "I don't get it. I don't get it." This is exactly what was happening there. It takes the Ruach, the HaKadosh, the awakening of the Most High and the Spirit to cause you to be able to understand the parables that he spoke in. It wasn't for the common man. There's only a remnant of us that are going to make it Two-thirds of Israel is even going to be destroyed, let alone this whole world. John 10:26-31. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Those that aren't his don't even believe. Those that are his believe. That is a sign for you. And when you have an inclination to be drawn to believe automatically off the top, that is a sign in the beginning that you have been called. Those that begin to doubt right away, those are the ones that I question. The doubting Thomas is the one that's like, whatever. Oh, yeah, I heard this. You saw that here, though. You know, those people you can't fool with. It takes the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, to wake people up and cause them to be able to bear witness to the words. There are people that will hear and be like, I get it, because something deep on the inside, the old people used to say, you're knower, that will resonate deep inside you and cause you to know. And it's actually the Holy Spirit that quickens you. And to quicken is like to be awakened and to shake you, to say, wait a minute, and cause you to be able to bear witness. I used to always liken it to when a deer is in the woods or in the forest and they hear a twig break and they raise up their head because they hear a certain sound and they're being cautious. They know. And other times, other animals may not even pay attention or even care. So there is something to be said about those that can hear the words of these scriptures and it bear witness with them on the inside. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Hear this good, and they shall never perish. That means die. It also says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, meaning that these people are the ones that will not be deceived by the world, by Satan, false doctrine, false tongues, false religions, Antichrist. Verse 29, my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father chose them before they were born and gave them to me. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They were so hot. So who were those who could not hear the Holy Spirit when it was poured out? It was those same who would instigate the crucifixion of Christ. Same people who didn't believe when the Spirit fell. They are the same ones that said, give us Barabbas and kill him. John 8:42, Jesus said unto them, if the Most High were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from the Most High. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye can't hear my words. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. This goes back to what I said about spirits seek bodies to dwell in so they can fulfill their lust for food, for wine, for sex. They roam. The people that can't hear are children of Satan. Now, he is the father of lies. And it says clear, Christ told them, and you will do the lust of your father, whatever he desires for you to do. It goes on to say he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. That is a powerful statement. There is no lick of truth in Satan. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of lies. Why? Lie not is in the commandments, because when you participate in a lie, you take on the character and the nature of Satan, and he becomes your father, which is why the truth is more stronger and powerful than a lie any day. You don't go lie to cover yourself. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Remember that saying? Also, the truth is so much more powerful than a lie, because it puts the onus on somebody else. When you lie, you constantly tell another lie to keep the lies going to cover yourself. But get it off you and tell somebody the truth about how you feel and what's on your mind. Christ went on to say in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you don't even believe me. The truth is very powerful. So the spirit of Phariseeism is alive. Pharisees is alive and well in many of the compromised and spiritually corrupted churches that people are leaving in droves. There is really no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. It is Satan's dilution of our faith. Now, if you're offended that Satan is diluting these Christian churches in these times, well, that's what Scripture said he would do. Let's not forget Isaiah the 14th chapter and Satan's 5-point plan. I will ascend into the stars. I will ascend upon the mount of the congregation in the north. I will be worshipped. I will be praised like the Most High. How do you think he accomplished that? By taking over the churches and getting people to worship him when they think they're worshiping the Most High and they're so far from him. This worship that's in these churches jumping up and down, this homosexual music, none of this stuff has anything to do with the Most High. What does? Keeping the commandments, keeping the Sabbath, out of fear for the Most High and loving him. And these churches will take this, what I'm saying, spin it and twist it and tell you that this is a false doctrine because you're not keeping the traditions of the denomination steeped in religion, which has nothing to do with the Most High. He has nothing to do with religion and denomination. He's got one way, which are those commandments that he gave to Moses to give to us that are forever, as we read last week in Isaiah, the 13th chapter. These are forever. If you want to be forever, then you've got to learn how to walk in these commandments and keep these commandments. This is the first part in the series I'm going to pick up next week. Next week, we're going to talk about how Sunday church came to be. And then after that, we're going to talk about the false rapture. So I want to get ready to close out. But before I do, I want to read out of the book of Enoch, chapter 62. The book of Enoch is a book that people will tell you is not a part of the Bible when it is. We're not concerned about the Bible. We're concerned about our history books. And they've kept history books from us, such as the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees, the book of Wars, the book of Enoch, the Apocrypha. Enoch was a man who walked with the Most High until he was no more. Enoch dealt with the fallen angels that corrupted mankind. You find that in Genesis, the 6th chapter. And you also hear in the book of Jude in the New Testament, his whole one book was about Enoch and what he wrote, father of Methuselah. You need to read the book of Enoch, but I'm going to read the 62nd chapter in closing. And thus the Lord commanded the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who dwell on the earth and said, open your eyes and lift up your horns. If ye are able to recognize the elect one, and the Lord of spirits seated him on the throne of his glory, and the spirit of righteousness was poured out upon him, and the word of his mouth slays all the sinners, and all the unrighteous are destroyed from before his face, and there shall stand up in that day all the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who hold the earth, and they shall see and recognize how he sits on the throne of his glory. And righteousness is judged before him, and no lying word is spoken before him. Then shall pain come upon them as on a woman in travail, and she has pain in bringing forth. When her child enters the mouth of the womb, and she has pain in bringing forth, and one portion of them shall look on the other, and they shall be terrified, and they shall be downcast of countenance, and pain shall seize them. When they see that the Son of Man sitting on the throne of his glory, and the kings and the mighty and all who possess the earth shall bless and glorify and extol him who rules over all who was hidden. For from the beginning, the Son of Man, talking about Christ, was hidden. He's hidden now because ain't nobody gonna believe he's from the tribe of Judah and has dark skin and hair like wool. For from the beginning, the Son of Man was hidden, and the Most High preserved him in the presence of his might and revealed him to the elect. All along, he was only revealed to the elect, those that will recognize and know who he is, where he's been hidden, what he looks like. He does have a color. He did live and possess flesh. He does come a certain way, walks a certain way, carries himself a certain way. Not the image that has been portrayed to this earth, this world, the United States of America. That whole entire image is a falsehood and an antichrist. Verse 8, and the congregation of that and holy shall be sown, and all the elect shall stand before him on that day. Is the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, that will be gathered back together. Verse 9, and all the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who rule the earth. This is talking about ungodly men who are big time right now, your politicians, presidents, prime ministers, kings and queens. Many of them won't all be destroyed because a lot of them are going to have to see him in his glory and bow down and recognize who he is as the Most High comes back and snatches their fame. And all the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who rule the earth shall fall down before him on their faces and worship and set their hope upon that Son of Man and petition him and supplicate for mercy at his hands. They're going to be begging, have mercy, because they know who he is more than you know, because they got your Bible, you don't even know how to read it. They got it out of the caves when they found it and know it's the history of the people they have destroyed and scattered. They don't want you to ever wake up. Nevertheless, verse 10, that Lord of spirits will so press them that they hastily go forth from his presence. These people are going to scatter when he returns. And their faces shall be filled with shame, and the darkness shall grow deeper on their faces. And he will deliver them to the angels for punishment. When you have time, read the Apocalypse of Peter. Very good book. And the Apocalypse of Paul. And it will show you the torments that people are going to face when they go down to hell. To execute vengeance on them because they have oppressed his children and his elect. Those that have oppressed the so-called slaves, the so-called black man, the so-called minority, the brown man, the poor, meek. These people are going to be punished for everything they've done. Verse 12, and they shall be a spectacle for the righteous and for his elect. And they shall rejoice over them, meaning that we will see their punishments and we will rejoice at their punishments. Because the wrath of the Lord of spirits rested upon them and his sword is drunk with their blood. Nobody understands that Christ is coming back with a sword and with blood. There'll be no more daisies and harps and skipping and nice kumbaya songs. He's coming back to you know what. Verse 13, and the righteous and elect shall be saved on that day. And they shall never thenceforth see the face of sinners and unrighteous. We'll never see these people who are ruling and reigning now that have all the money, all the bling, and all y'all idolizing them and want to be like them, want to be like Mike. This foolishness, they're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And those that are humble, the commandments, the elect, keeping the Shabbat, the Sabbath, we will be promoted in the name of Christ. Verse 14, and the Lord of spirits will abide over us. Them, and with that Son of Man shall they eat and lie down and rise up forever and ever. You know what that just said right there? You didn't hear that we will have no life, but we will still eat of the good things of the land. We'll still sleep. We'll still rest. Your life will be like, but it'll be eternal. There'll be no more death. You will live. You will not grow old. You will not age. You'll be in his presence. Don't believe the false images that they portrayed to you of what heaven's going to be like. And no, it's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and you will be as you are. But you won't see death because death came as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve and the sins of our forefathers. You were not brought into this world to have to die. You exist just like the Most High exists, the great I am that I am. We were made in his image, and he is the I am that I am. What does that mean? That means I exist. I am. Whatever you want me to be, that's what I am. I am that I am. Ahaya Ashar Ahaya. I am. This exists. And we were made in his image to be the same way. Let me finish this out. Verse 15. And the righteous and elect shall have risen from the earth and cease to be of downcast countenance. And they shall have been clothed with garments of glory. And these shall be the garments of life from the Lord of spirits. And your garments shall not grow old, nor your glory pass away before the Lord of spirits. I read that out of Enoch. We did a lesson on Enoch earlier in the year because the beginning of the book of Enoch says that this book is for a remote generation that will see the coming of the Messiah. And I believe that's the generation that is right now. This is Elder V. You've been listening to Blueprint for Life, brought to you on Blog Talk Radio. I want to say the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Truth is a journey and not a destination. Kwam Yasha'Allah. Let's rise, Israel. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Barakatah. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Keep it holy. Wake up your people. Let's wake up our nation, but let's keep the faith. Don't give in. Don't give in. Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
I got